Today's reading is taken from the book of 3 John. I'll be reading the whole letter. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health, as it goes well with your soul. For I rejoiced greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth, as indeed you are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Beloved, it is a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are, who testified to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God. For they have gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support people like these, that we may be fellow workers for the truth. I have written something to the church, but Diotrephes, who likes to put himself first, does not acknowledge our authority. So if I come, I will bring up what he's doing, talking wicked nonsense against us. And not content with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers and also stops those who wants to and puts them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. Whoever does good is from God. Whoever does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself. We also add our testimony, and you know that our testimony is true. I had much to write to you, but I would rather not write with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. Peace be to you. The friends greet you. Greet the friends, every one of them. This is the word of God.
Good morning, church. My name is Wen Chong, and I'm one of the pastors here at Ang Mo Kio Presbyterian Church. If you're new with us, and this is your first time here, or the first few times, or even you were not with us at the church camp, our church is actually on this series of letters written by the Apostle John. In the Bible, it is the first, second, and third letter of John. So if you're not here, allow me to summarize a little bit what we are covering as a series, and then later I'll show what are we going to be covering today. 2 weeks ago, our church began a series from the letters in the New Testament named 1 John. It was Reverend Dr. Leonard Wee who began this series by showing us that our Christian identity in Jesus Christ can be seen when we obey God's commands, as well as not love the world, at least not the things of this world and what it has to offer. For those of you who were at the camp, Dr. Wee continued to show us the importance of Christian communities in dealing with sin, calling a spade for a spade, he says, but of course, in a loving way. In fact, from 1 John, we learn that when we say we abide in Christ, we surely must love one another. We are not to keep each other at arm's length, and in loving one another, we become this community that God's life, our saving club, can be used to save others. From outside the church, others might know of who Jesus is and to be part of this love. Last week, we have Reverend Kien Sing, who continued from the second letter of John. And in the second letter of John, the elder, which is John himself, wrote, and we learn that truth and love is inseparable. If we were to be all truth and no love, then we become legalistic. But if we are all love without truth, then we fall into the danger of being licentious, which means we can just do anything we want. In his sermon, Reverend Kien Sing reminded us that our Christian fellowship is more than just meeting people that we enjoy catching up each week on Sunday. Reverend Kien Sing reminded us how our fellowship is based on the truth of God's word. And that's what brings us together each week. Personally, this was what encouraged me the most last week when I was listening to this sermon, that we can become this kind of community that share our learnings, our discussions, and all these the insights of spiritual truths from the sermon, our daily devotions, and even what we've learned in CG. Today, I will be concluding our series on the letters of John, and we will learn the importance of Christian hospitality. We will study this person called Gaius, and what to do to be a good host, and then we will learn what not to do from this second person and a church leader named Diotrephes. Finally, I will suggest some few possible ways that we as AMKPC or Christians can practice hospitality here. So before I begin today's teaching, let us pray as we ask the Holy Spirit to water our hearts for God's word to be planted deep in us. Let us pray. Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit come and prepare our hearts for the hearing of your word. Lord, cause our hearts to be moved and our feet and hands to take action from what we've heard or learned today. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The first person whom we will examine today is Gaius. John, the elder, which we learned last week from Reverend Kian Seng, is the leader of this network of churches that he had planted, or at least were in charge of these churches. So when John opens his letter with this very intimate greeting of someone beloved to him, John states that Gaius is someone he loves in the truth. Here, John opened by stating why Gaius and he are so close. Not because they were childhood friends, or that they were just simply familiar with one another. The basis of their intimate relationship is rooted in the truth of the gospel. And even in these opening verses, we see that there is something very important for all of us here at AMKPC to consider. That whether or not our interactions with the person sitting next to you or the people you can't wait to meet each Sunday is based on your love for God's truth. For John and Gaius, it was the basis of their relationship, a deep and grounded relationship in truth and in love. I think this is really encouraging and a wonderful relationship to be part of. Sometimes it's easy to take for granted the reason why we come each Sunday and the way we relate to one another. I know I look forward to see the people who I'm familiar with each Sunday. But from today's opening verses, we are reminded that our relationship can and ought to be one that is grounded deeply in the truth of God's word. So, why not talk about what you've learned from the sermon or from the scriptures? Why not share with one another what the Lord has taught you in your devotion this week? I understand at the canteen, sometimes it's a little bit, everybody is a little bit chatty, and it can be a little bit awkward to bring this up. But this I know of all of us, is that actually each one of us here want to have spiritual conversation with one another. Many just don't know how to start it. So may the loving relationship of Gaius and John inspire us to become this community that loves one another deeply in the truth of Scripture. So, we continue. How does John know that Gaius was doing well in the faith? How did he know that Gaius was, in his words, walking in the truth? Gaius's faith was experienced and reported by this group of people called the brothers, who testified at church of his wonderful hospitality and love that they had experienced from Gaius. Gaius' faith was not just head knowledge or that he had superior spiritual insights of his faith. Simply, Gaius' faith could be seen because he lived it out by hosting these brothers. Gaius' faith was seen as a good host when he practiced Christian hospitality. Who are these brothers? These brothers are likely persons who have left their homes and comfort to preach the gospel. They were likely sent by John himself to nourish the church with biblical preaching and to encourage the various churches that the Apostle John had planted. So, if the brothers are supporting the church with the preaching and the nourishing of God's word, support for them would be that of practical support. In today's context, you would say that the brothers are what we would call full-time workers, like pastors or missionaries who are people who are bringing God's word to another country or another nationality. These people too have left their comfort and home to preach and share God's word with the people as a full-time job. If you look at verse 7, it tells us that they have gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. This means that the brothers have dedicated their lives to gospel work. And John also reminded Gaius that we ought to support people like these because the brothers are not receiving anything from the Gentiles. On this, I'm very, very thankful for AMKPC, for your generous and support for the pastors and the mission work that we are doing. Indeed, we have given up drawing salary from a secular company or the Gentiles to be part of doing this gospel work that the Lord has called us to, both in the school and in the ministry of the church. By your faithful and regular tithing, the pastors need not be worried about our finances. We need not be pastors by day and Grab driver by night. Thank you for supporting us. And I think I speak on behalf of our pastoral team to say that we are truly grateful for AMKPC being faithful in your giving and even your physical support to the ministry. These brothers shared that Gaius was a Christian walking in the truth. And John must have been so glad that Gaius is not just one who understands the truth, but he was one who lived it out. And in John's exact words, Gaius was someone walking in the truth. And one way that John knew that Gaius was walking in the truth was how he treated strangers as brothers. He treated those he barely knew as though they were people that he could just love. He treated outsiders as though they were insiders. And Gaius was commended for this. His hospitality to the brothers, his walking in truth equals hosting strangers. So if in the first letter of John, it tells us to love one another. I remember some of you were here for that service and even the church camp itself. When we come to the third letter of John, it shows us how that love looks like. And it is seen here in 3 John in radical hospitality that is extended even to strangers. Love, like what Reverend Dr. Leonard Wee reminded us, that extends beyond our biological families or even the friends and family members that we are familiar with. God's divine love is seen in us when we extend His love and hospitality to another in His name. Biblical hospitality is not a New Testament idea. It is seen throughout the Old Testament as well. In fact, God is the one who first showed us unmerited and gracious hospitality when He invited Adam and Eve to be part of His home. The most famous hosting of strangers is probably found in Genesis chapter 18, when Abraham hosted three strangers, which he then discovered were divine beings. For a nomad like Abraham, he provided a lavish feast where he prepared milk, bread, and meat to host his guests. So much so that later, the author of Hebrews in the New Testament penned down in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2. He says, "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware." A concept that was inspired by the father Abraham himself in the Old Testament. And then when we come to the Gospels, it is interesting to note that Jesus in Luke chapter 9, and when He sent out all His disciples to heal and preach, He asked them to not go with any provisions. Most of us, or anyone, who go on a mission will probably pack a bag full of provisions so that we can make it there and even make it back. But it was quite certain that Jesus wanted His disciples to be dependent on another person's hospitality. And according to history, this was how the early church grew, when the gospel message was out there, it was so deeply embedded with Christian hospitality that is both extended to others and received by Christian workers. In the early church, evangelism and Christian hospitality are inseparable. Having said that, I understand that Christian hospitality is costly. The host almost has always to bear the cost of his or her hospitality without expecting the guests to repay their generosity. Another thing is that there's a risk when we might be taken for granted as we host our guests, or even abuse when we open up our homes and maybe our things go missing. And I want to let you know, we should expect that. It is common. However, when we actually show such unmerited hospitality to strangers, we participate in one of the most life-changing work. Our hospitality makes a difference to a stranger. This is Joanne and Melvin. They are featured in Salt and Light, a Christian website where it features different Christian stories, as a couple who use their BTO to welcome single parents and children who needed a home. I was privileged to have a chance to meet them last year at a missions conference when they shared a little bit about how the Lord has called them to open their homes to strangers. At one point, their house housed three single mothers and their children who were waiting for rental flats. For Joanne and Melvin, in their living together with some of these strangers, there were those that actually took them for granted. Some just assumed that they would pay for all their living expenses. But there were also moments where they could share their Christian faith with people from a very closed religion. Eventually, for Joanne and Melvin, they felt led by the Holy Spirit and even God to show hospitality to strangers permanently. The Lord impressed upon their hearts to adopt a kid. And this is Ariel. She was 4 years old when Joanne and Melvin adopted her. This decision to adopt a stranger into their homes resulted in Joanne having to leave her job and become a homeschool mother. And she cried because she really, really loved her job. But she needed to do that because she wanted to form and foster secure attachments with Ariel. Is it the next slide? Oh, okay. The adoption fees for Ariel actually amounted to around $35,000, and yet they had to give so much and leave her job and even pay for this $35,000. But this was what Joanne had to say. I'll read her quote. "Yet our love and sacrifices are but a minute fraction of what God has done for us. He sent his son to die for us while we were yet strangers to him, and he paid the highest price." So why do we extend hospitality? Why did Joanne and Melvin open their homes to strangers? Why did Gaius show hospitality to strangers and treat them as fellow family members? It is because while we were strangers, estranged from God, God welcomed us and took us in. In our poverty and our hunger, God fed us with himself, the bread of life. God opened his eternal home and prepares a table before us. And what did it cost him to host us? It cost him everything. It cost the Son, Jesus Christ, who lived and died so that we might become part of God's household. And this is and should be the greatest motivation as to why we now can extend hospitality to others. Joanne and Melvin understood this. Gaius understood this. And their radical hospitality reflects their thorough and deep understanding of their Christian faith. By their hospitality, strangers become brothers. In their hospitality, the love of Christ is seen in and through them. In preparing for this message, I cannot help but keep recalling this particular youth who joined us a few years ago. I recall having to drive down to Sengkang to find him as he was chased out of his home, and he was left to sleep at the stairway of his HDB, because if he sleeps next to the house, at least he has Wi-Fi. After finding out what happened, I learned that he does not have a good relationship with his family, and his father had apparently called the police multiple times because he did not know how to handle his son anymore. I recall deliberating very long and very hard on whether I should take him in to stay for the night before we find him a place that he can lay his head. Eventually, in the wee hours of the night, my family and I decided not to house him, as Noah was still pretty young at that time, and we weren't sure whether or not he was trustworthy. Thankfully, we found a Christian home that took at-risk kids, and they provided a bed and a temporary place for him to call home. I remember being so thankful for their ministry that they used to house troubled youths. But as I consider my hesitation in extending hospitality to him, I realize something. I realize that the cost of hosting someone is not just in monetary terms. When you open your home to a stranger, there is some level of risk that we have to bear as hosts when we receive a stranger. Theft, safety of your family members, these are all considerations that we have to think about. And when you open your home to strangers, you give up the one comfort you have at home, your own privacy. So when I think of Joanne and Melvin, who just opened their homes to strangers, I had a deep respect for this newlywed who had every reason to keep their homes all to themselves. Likewise, from the inspiring example of Gaius, we learn that it costs more than just money to host strangers. But if we were to do so, God's love is displayed and the truth of the gospel is lived out when we practice Christian hospitality. So from Gaius, we learn that he was deeply committed to the truth. It was this basis of his relationship with John, solid gospel truth, that the both of them shared. And not just confined within the two of them. It was also extended to strangers whom Gaius don't even know. And when Gaius practiced generous hospitality, and though Gaius was not an itinerant preacher or missionary himself, and when he supported the gospel work, Gaius becomes a fellow worker in the truth. This is Gaius. We will now move on to our next character, Diotrephes. He is somewhat the antagonist in the letter. If we learn what it means to be a good host from the person of Gaius, we can know that we can learn what not to do to be a good host from Diotrephes. The first thing that John tells us in verse 9 is that John had written to the church. But Diotrephes, who likes to put himself first, does not acknowledge John's authority. It is likely that Diotrephes is one of the leaders of this house church, or even possibly that this local assembly was meeting in his house. And this perhaps explains why later, as you read on the verses, why he could put other Christians out of the church, because it was his home. This is also very likely the reason why John had to write to Gaius, because when John wrote to Diotrephes, he did not read the letter out loud to the church. But John knew if he were to write to Gaius, it is more likely that Gaius will send this letter to the church and the church will receive it. So in these short verses here in verse 9, John actually tells us a lot about Diotrephes. He says he puts himself first and that he does not acknowledge his authority. Actually, this is very telling of someone's character, isn't it? In our Hokkien term, it is kiasu, scared of losing, literally, because he always just wants to win. But how is Diotrephes kiasu here? You see, by the time of 3 John, it was when the letter was written and penned down, there weren't many living apostles left. Many of them were scattered to different places, and many even laid down their lives for the sake of the gospel. Because at that point of time, there was even persecution by the Roman Empire. Any Christian at that time, in those times, would have given John the due reverence and respect as one of the only disciples left, perhaps, who walked and talked with Jesus while Jesus was on earth. So if it is anyone, John has the most credentials and authority with regards to anything about Christianity. John knew Christ, and more importantly, Christ knew John. So why then does Diotrephes not submit to such a well-known apostle? The answer John gives to us: Diotrephes likes to put himself first. It seems that Diotrephes has had it with John. He no longer wants to be under his leadership. Diotrephes wants to be his own person, his own brand of a church perhaps, his own man. So instead of following John's apostolic leadership, he refused to follow John and even utters wicked nonsense about John. Here, this is a clear act of insubordination and an intentional undermining of John's leadership. By speaking ill of John in public, Diotrephes has intention to turn John's followers to himself. This is why John describes Diotrephes as someone who likes to be first, because he does not want to be second in command or following John's leadership. And this reminds me of the moment where the disciples of Jesus, when they came to Capernaum, and when they were arguing with one another of who was the greatest, Jesus actually sat them down and called them and said, and this is what Jesus says, Mark chapter 9 verse 35, "If anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all." Jesus was trying to teach his disciples that while the world values first and winning, God is looking for disciples who would be willing to be last and to serve others. So, if we were to compare Jesus' expectation of a follower and Diotrephes, who likes to be first, we see a very contrasting image of what kind of leader Diotrephes is. His refusal to follow John, the one whom Jesus loved, tells you that Diotrephes just wants to do his own thing. It took me a while to reflect and to look through the people here at AMKPC and whether or not we have this attitude of always wanting to be first. And whether or not it is something that I see here in AMKPC or even perhaps within myself. And phew, I'm glad I did not know many people that are like that. People who are power hungry or desire to be insubordinate to the church. Nor can I think of anyone in particular now that is still with us who have this blatant disregard for church leadership. But this doesn't mean that such persons are extinct. I recall in the past a particular church member who wanted to start a particular ministry that he felt very strongly for. But instead of working closely with the church leaders, he went ahead and put his own team and people to start the ministry. Soon, his ministry had to come to a stop as he was pulling people away from some of the established ministries of our church. This church member started casting doubt in our members and even some of these leaders of the church. Eventually, he left the church. Now, looking back, I realize that he has actually caused quite a lot of damage and trouble to some of the people's faith. I realize that if things were to play out differently, I really wonder if he were to choose to partner with us, whether or not things would have worked out. It's sad that there are people like Diotrephes in the church. But perhaps that's why the third letter of John is in scripture for us. That the church will face all sorts of problems, heresies from outside the church that seeks to destroy it, disunity and hate within the church that will cripple the church from the inside. And here in 3 John, insubordination that will weaken the strongholds and trust between leaders and their members. And Diotrephes is here to teach us what not to do in God's church. And we haven't even reached the worst part of what Diotrephes has done. When the traveling missionaries arrived at the door of Diotrephes, he refused them and did not want anything to do with John nor his disciples. And there were those from his congregation who felt, oh, okay, they come all the way, maybe we should host them. And they decided to house them. But Diotrephes put them out of the church as well. Not only was he kicking out the missionaries that were sent by John, he was kicking out his own church members for hosting them. I cannot imagine if I were to be one of these church members and I felt led to want to host these Christians who I find very kind and nice, and then suddenly for the next few Sundays, I cannot go to church because I got kicked out. So, while we may not be, or rather, I hope that we are not, like Diotrephes, we still ought to consider our actions if we might in any way share some attributes of Diotrephes. And allow me to share two. Number one, do we like to be first? Is there a part of us, deep in our hearts or in our lives, that we cannot subscribe to church leadership? Perhaps not in doctrinal matters, I think most of us here are agreeable, but maybe we disagree with the way the ministry is run. Or you cannot quite agree with how this leader is leading the team. A part of you just want to branch out and do your own thing, rather than to stay and work it out with this leader or the ministry. Second, do we speak wicked nonsense? And while we may not know what Diotrephes actually said about John, we too have this tendency to gossip about certain church leaders here too. Because maybe some of us, we know this person's pattern. We know this person's flaws. And sometimes even me, I am guilty of this. And I find myself slipping, by putting another fellow Christian down. So, if Gaius was a great host who hosted strangers, whose testimony of love was spoken so highly of, Diotrephes shows us what a poor host we can be when we are so consumed of wanting to do our own thing without working closely with church leadership. And though we may not slander and undermine our church leaders openly like Diotrephes did, are we careful with our tongue on how we describe our leaders to one another? I'm at my last point, AMKPC. In my 22 years, and I have to keep counting because I'm not very good with this, in my 22 years of being here in AMKPC, I must say that it is because of your hospitality that I have found myself a home. You took me in when I was a stranger. I was just a normal secondary school boy. And when I had nothing much. Your generosity and love warmed my heart and gave me an opportunity to personally encounter God here in this very building and premises of Ang Mo Kio Presbyterian Church. You fed me every service with generous soya bean. You clothed me once a year with wonderful church camp t-shirts. And I don't think you know, but as a young boy, it played a very big part in my wardrobe. And I recall when I was a young boy, I would look forward to all the cooking of our aunties of our church. I look forward to Auntie Lele's mini sausage, even though I can just cook it myself, but hers was just very nice. I look forward to Auntie Michelle's crab dip when we go to her house. I look forward to Reverend Shrimal's roast and lasagna, where all of us will just eat all of them. And even Wee Jim, who made his wonderful nasi lemak. But more than just food, AMKPC hosted me and took me in as one of your own, gave me a place to grow my faith. It is at this place I met my wife and even found my calling to be a full-time minister, pastor, cannot say minister yet. I am very grateful to every person who loved me and showed me this love and hospitality in your own special way. And on this note, I will really, really want to specially thank all the parents who took this morning to tirelessly cook and prepare a very welcoming meal for all our Alpha guests later. I'm sure they are looking forward to your food. Thank you for waking up in the morning, cook for strangers who you've never even met. And perhaps, I just want to encourage you, like me, you might be feeding the next pastor of AMKPC or a future missionary that we do not know. Thank you for your support and labor in love. So, my assessment and my experience in AMKPC, I think we are a pretty good host. And I'd like to offer some suggestions for us to consider how we might then include more strangers in our midst and even support others who are practicing Christian hospitality here in AMKPC. So I'd like to offer three considerations. Number one, Alpha this July. Alpha is the one place that you might meet strangers, in fact, many strangers. Alpha will be a wonderful opportunity for all of us to practice Christian hospitality. That's why at Alpha, we play host, literally, we are the host in the group, to our guests that we are inviting to our spiritual home. And we host them by feeding them, talking to them, getting to know them, listening deeply into their lives, and share with them the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. And perhaps some of you might be thinking, "Ayo, I'm not that kind of person. I don't like to share and talk about my faith one. Let other people do it. Perhaps they might do better than me." And yes, it might be true that someone else with the spiritual gift of evangelism or teaching might be better in answering questions. But perhaps today, from the example of Gaius, we can learn how we can support preachers and evangelists too. He was commended for practical hospitality. Would you consider then coming to Alpha to serve those who are hosting the guests? Perhaps you can help with singing, leading a game, preparing the food, and if you are good with the creative arts, perhaps you could help to design stuff for Alpha as well. I'm sure that there is a place for you to serve with your unique gifts and personality. I understand that it might mean that you have to give up 10 Saturdays, Saturday evenings some more, to come down for Alpha. But may the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus be what that which moves us to give up our time, our rights, to serve a stranger. Number two, welcoming strangers at the canteen or at our church. Do you know that on average, we have around 50 to 60 strangers who walk into our church each year? This on average means one stranger comes to each of our Sunday service for 52 weeks. So one week, one stranger. In recent time, I found out that our church is being visited by people who live nearby. Perhaps one of you are seated here today. You found us on the internet. You saw us, you heard a little bit of sermons, and you decided to give it a go to see whether or not AMKPC is the place that you want to be part of. Sadly, not all 50 to 60 of them stay at the end of each year. Because I went to count. In my 22 years here, if they all stayed, our church would be around 1,000 people already. So, would you consider playing host to these strangers who visit us each week? Would you consider helping them feel part of the family like what you did for me? Many may be strangers, but in the hope, when they join us, we can call them brothers. For both the Alpha and the Welcome Ministry, I want to challenge you to speak to Deacon Keqing. I think he'll be very encouraged, over the moon, to have people walk up to him and say, "Keqing, I want to host strangers." Anyone? Okay, you can talk to him on your own. Lastly, I would like to challenge those of you who own a home, or even for those of you who are thinking of getting a new home as a new couple, to consider making your home a place to host people. Sometimes we can take for granted, but Many of our CG leaders have opened their homes to host CGs for many years now. And in their love and zeal, I'm confident of these people because I know them personally, they will be willing to continue to do so until kingdom come. But might I ask that for us to consider serving them by availing our homes for CG or gatherings with anything that might benefit the church. This way, we share in the burden of hospitality and we ease our leaders who have been giving to the ministry by opening their homes. I know, because I open my home too, that it is inconvenient for your family, that it might even disrupt your family routine. But opening your home can be a ministry and a wonderful opportunity to invite others into your life. In her book, The Gospel Comes with a House Key, Rosaria Butterfield wrote that those who live out radically ordinary hospitality see their home not as theirs at all, but as God's gift to use for the furtherance to his kingdom, of his kingdom. Today's teaching focuses largely on Christian hospitality. From Gaius, we learn what true biblical hospitality is, giving that is practical for the sake of the gospel. So much so that one would even house strangers. From Diotrephes, we understand why he was such a bad host. His attitude of wanting to be first and his insubordination to church leadership caused him to be hostile and unwelcoming. In closing, I would like us to all imagine if John were to write a letter to us today, or rather specifically to you, like how he did to Gaius. What would he say in his letter to us as a church or to you personally? Would he commend you or us for our superb hosting and radical hospitality? Or would he have a thing or two to say about some of our practices in church with regards to welcoming strangers? It is my hope and prayer that AMKPC will strive to be a faithful church according to Scripture, putting our faith into action through Christian hospitality. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for serving us. Let us learn to serve one another, that in serving you, through practical hospitality, strangers can become brothers, that the love of Christ can be seen in us and through us in our living and giving. May AMKPC be a church that seeks to welcome and include all newcomers, strangers, and guests. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Wen Chong, for the message. May I invite all of you to stand together. Church, let us sing this closing song as a beautiful expression of Christian call to community and friendship, marked by the selfless service, a walking alongside, and the bearing of one another's joys, sorrows, and fears. Let's sing this song, the Servant Song.
Walk the mile and back.
hold.
I will hold the Christ light for you in the night time of your fear. I will hold my hand out to you, seek the peace you long for to hear. I will weep when you are weeping, when you laugh, I love with you. I will share your joy and sorrow till we've seen this journey through.
I will say,
I will share your joy and sorrow till we've seen this journey through.
Praise be to God. Please be seated.